This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. Pirates and web-slingers, animated ogres and rats, robots and teen wizards, Hollywood's dream factories churned out a lot of fantasy in 2007. Four movies topped $300 million at the box office, the first time that's happened. For his 10 best list, our critic Bob Mondello doesn't look at the numbers, he looks at quality. And he says when you consider the year that was, the quality wasn't bad either.
Glittering behemoths at the multiplex, glittering jewels at the art house, filmmaking seemed especially bipolar this year, even within individual movies, comedies about death and destruction, dramas leavened by humor, Tim Burton's serial killer musical, for instance, Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street, with its throat-slashing title character, and his partner in crime who bakes his victims into meat pies.
Here we are, hot at the oven.
What is that?
It's priest, have a little priest.
Is it really good?
Sir, it's too good, at least. Then again, they don't come, it sins all the flesh. So it's pretty fresh.
Delicious, in fact. Also a cut above, as it were, is another serial killer flick, this one creepy in a more contemporary way. No Country for Old Men, with nerve-rattling images from the Coen brothers and eerie dialogue from Cormac McCarthy's novel.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
I don't know. I couldn't say.
Call it.
I didn't put nothing up.
Yes, you did. You've been putting it up your whole life. You just didn't know it.
There was also killing aplenty in a thoroughly unconventional Western, the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Against breathtaking landscapes, Casey Affleck plays the coward, and Brad Pitt, the famous outlaw who gave his assassin the gun that would eventually kill him.
You know what John Newman Edwards once wrote about me? He said I didn't trust two men of 10,000. Even them I was cautious around. I've been feeling cornered and just plain ornery as of late, and I'd be pleased if you'd accept that gun as my way of apologizing.
Theirs is, shall we say, a complicated relationship. And a film about geopolitical complications turned out to be the year's most unexpected comedy. Charlie Wilson's War, the true story of some intrepid souls, including a congressman and a CIA agent, who helped organize a covert war in the 1980s.
This meeting is going to be unprofessional.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be talking to the deputy defense minister while his boss gets a belly dance from a friend of Charlie's.
What? A good friend of mine back in Texas is a well-known belly dancer. It's always been her dream to perform in Egypt, so she's our way in. While she's dancing for the defense minister, we'll be talking to the deputy.
Oh, my God.
Nah, she's supposed to be good.
With a script by Aaron Sorkin and direction by Mike Nichols, Charlie Wilson's War is sophisticated mainstream filmmaking for grown-ups. For sophisticated mainstream filmmaking for kids, you pretty much have to look to Pixar these days, and they made what is hands down the year's most mouth-watering film, Ratatouille, about a rat named Remy who wants to be a French chef.
He's ruining the soup, and nobody's noticing it. It's your restaurant. Do something.
What can I do? I am a figment of your imagination.
But he's ruining the soup. We gotta tell someone that he's not...
As Remy took the cooking plunge, Pixar digitizers made sure there was plenty of wit to savor. That's five of the year's best, all major Hollywood releases, so for the next three, I'm going to take us overseas. First, to another exercise in animation. Persepolis, based on a four-volume graphic novel, uses elegant black-and-white line drawings to tell a coming-of-age tale about a rebellious little girl in Iran who is restricted but not bowed by the rise of Islamic fundamentalism. An authoritarian crackdown in another society, communist East Germany, is the subject of a riveting suspense film called The Lives of Others, about undercover surveillance and the awakening, perhaps too late, of conscience.
Georg Dreimann, das ist ziemlich unser einziger Autor, der nichts Verdächtiges schreibt.
Ich würde ihn überwachen lassen.
In Germany, a man betrayed by his country. In France, a man betrayed by his body. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly tells a true story about a stroke victim left paralyzed, unable to speak, and capable of moving only one eyelid, with which he managed to blink an entire memoir letter by letter.
L-O-M-D-P-C-C. Merci. Merci.
Yeah, I know, but it's oddly liberating on screen. The homegrown film The Savages also crosses up expectations, managing to be entirely realistic and still somehow to find humor in a story about putting an addled parent into a nursing home.
What if you're in a coma?
John.
Would you want a breathing machine to keep you alive?
What kind of question is that?
Well, it's a question we should know in case.
In case what?
It's this procedure. It's something they want for their records.
Who?
The people who run the place, the Valley View.
What the hell kind of hotel is it?
The Savages. Intimate, recognizably real, and splendidly acted. And I'm going to round out the top 10 with another small film, but one that has a big voice. Once, a sort of newfangled, old-fashioned street musical with melodies that soar. That's 10, which is an arbitrary number, especially in a year as packed with eccentric films as 2007, so let's just keep going. I also like the swooning romance of the World War II drama Atonement, the wide-open spaces of Sean Penn's Into the Wild, and Julie Christie's gorgeous performance as a woman with Alzheimer's in Away From Her. The Italian film The Golden Door opened a fascinating window on immigration. This Is England looked at skinhead culture with an insider's perspective, and La Vie Jean Rose had not just a terrific performance by Marion Cotillard, but also those glorious Edith Piaf songs. What music is to La Vie en Rose, violence is to a pair of epics about greed and bad character, American Gangster starring Denzel Washington, and There Will Be Blood starring Daniel Day-Lewis. The drama Michael Clayton is a piercing look at corporate corruption, the documentary No End in Sight a dispassionate look at America's rush to war in Iraq. And a trio of small, wonderfully quirky films about family found universality in situations that don't seem all that universal. The Namesake, a rich assimilation comedy about East Indians in the U.S., Lars and the Real Girl, a surprisingly touching tale of a recluse who introduces an anatomically correct doll to his neighbors as his girlfriend, and Juno, the hippest comedy around about a 16-year-old who's darned if she's letting an unexpected pregnancy knock her off stride.
Who was the father, Juno?
It's Polly Bleeker.
Polly Bleeker?
What?
I didn't think he had it in him.
I know, right?
That's 23 reasons for cheer this year, unorthodox, offbeat reasons that we should probably hang on to as we head into 2008, full of optimism about the no doubt equally unorthodox, offbeat charms that Hollywood will find in Hannah Montana, Sex in the City, and Horton Hears a Who. I'm Bob Mandela.
If you couldn't scribble fast enough to keep up with Bob, you'll find his complete 23-film 10 best list at npr.org.